The views and opinions expressed by the hosts on MadisonTalks.com are those of the host. That's why we do it. Give us a call, 608-210-1667. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to the Brian Beebe Half Hour Variety Hour. It's really 15 minutes of fun, music, and laughter stretched out into something much, much longer. And now, here's your host, Brian Beebe.
Yeah, we'll sing in the sunshine. We'll laugh every day. We'll sing in the sunshine. That's what we were listening to, setting this stuff up today. Gail Garnett, We'll Sing in the Sunshine. Another one, hit wonder. Gee, you know, we Mike was really working hard, and here we now I got writing on my screen on my phone.
Awesome.
What is it?
Somebody commenting.
Okay, good. Yeah. Well, anyway, we worked hard to get this set up today. It wasn't quite as easy as last week, but and I noticed that for some reason we've got Ebeeb Nairb up there instead of Brian Beebe. I brought my. I brought my sign in to cover up Mitch Hanks' sign, and it's backwards, so we can't do anything about it. And, you know, I noticed, too, and I hope nobody says anything about this, but I think I'm wearing the same shirt I wore last Wednesday. Maybe that's good. It was kind of lucky.
It's a uniform, yeah.
Yeah, the uniform. It's actually, I like these long-sleeve T-shirts that, and I got some... bars and restaurants down in Florida when I was down there this year, and that's what I'm doing. So anyway, I'm Brian Beebe, everybody, and I am a professional musician, part-time short story writer, full-time musician, very, very slightly part-time podcaster. But I work up in Wisconsin Dells at Sorrento's at the Wilderness, and it's a fantastic bar and restaurant up there, hooked up to the huge 700-room Wilderness Resort. And I play 7 to 10 four nights a week. You can come up there 7 o'clock and order something to eat, have your dinner right at the bar, and listen to me for an hour and still be home to Madison by 9 o'clock, 9:30. So that's what we do. I'm also sponsored by Muck's Bar and Grill. They are wrapping up their fall concert series. It was fall for a while. It was spring for a while. Now it's winter mostly. Do you know... Mike, I saw my own shadow on Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw my own shadow. Six more weeks of Nutrisystem. Yeah,
it'll be ready.
All right. 6 more weeks of Jenny Craig. Is Jenny Craig still around? I don't know.
Gotta
do
be.
You hear about Jenny Craig anymore? I don't think we do. But anyway, Monk's Bar and Grill, they're bringing Zeno and Joe. Back to the theater at the Wilderness there, and fantastic vocals. And Zeno was the original lead singer of Cheap Trick, and he has found himself a fabulously talented musician by the name of Joe Kelly. Joe Kelly, not Kelly. Can't remember. It's a K, though. K-E. Anyway, and he's a concert master at a theater down in the Third Ward in Milwaukee. And boy, they make a big noise, the two of them, guitar and violins with all these effects on it and stuff. You know, they do a lot of classic rock and the tough stuff, the stuff you wouldn't expect them to do. Anyway, this week, we've talked about a number of things on my past podcasts. This week, I was thinking that we would go with a little bit of late-night TV. I'm old enough to remember when Johnny Carson was going strong. He just took over from Jack Parr, and The Tonight Show was a 90-minute affair, and everybody was smoking and drinking right on the stage, and Johnny was really good at facing down even the biggest stars. Nobody was above Johnny. You know, he could communicate with all of them. And 30 years of that, and that show, I wish I had an Ed McMahon here. Somebody to, you know, you know, every time I say anything remotely cute, I get somebody, and it would be, you know, it's an indicator that there has been a joke told, because it might not sound like there's been a joke told to a lot of you. If you don't, if we don't get it identified somehow, and that's what we do. Well, we started a little bit late, but I see all kinds of things popping, and I don't know, this
good.
Is hearts and thumbs ups and everything popping on my phone.
What Those are good things.
Is it a good thing? Yeah. I don't know. But I don't see any comments or anything like that now, but and I'm smiling more. I told myself last week I didn't smile quite enough, so I'm smiling a little bit more, making it look like I'm having fun, even if I'm not. but I am. And I had a little bit of a cold, and I got some cold medicine in me, and I'm dragged out just a little bit. But let's talk about late night TV. I was a big fan of Carson. I was a big fan of David Letterman. And I know something about those wars between David Letterman and Jay Leno, and then Conan O'Brien got snuck in there too, and the new guys, Craig Ferguson. What happened to him? I thought he was pretty funny, and we all kind of like big time like Jimmy Fallon. He's the new king, I think.
Yeah.
Then. Seth Meyers is a very talented guy. He seems a little stiff. He just says, "How are you doing tonight?" Every show, it's, "How are you doing tonight?" "Oh, that's just great. So let's get to the news." And he is right into his monologue, you know? So, I mean, so he doesn't really have much personality, but he's funny, and he puts the stuff out there. I'm saying I like him, but, you know, he's very leftist, his politics and everything, very anti-Trump and blah, blah, blah. But, and then there's Jimmy Kimmel, and then there's Stephen Colbert. I was a big, big fan of the Colbert Report and The Daily Show on Comedy Central there for a long time. I think I still have 20 of those Stephen Colbert and Colbert Reports saved on my TiVo. And now he went through some changes too at the with his show. There's a big smile from my. He went through some big changes when he took over for Letterman. You know, Letterman was actually there for longer. He was in late night TV for longer than Johnny Carson. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm hoping that somebody will call in and ask some questions or make some comments. But just for fun, do you have any idea what year it was that Johnny Carson retired and left NBC? What year was it? He had been in there 30 years. He's been gone a long time. I'll give you that much of a hint. David Letterman started with in 1982. Paul Schaefer all the way, man. Paul Schaefer was a sidekick to end all sidekicks, and then you had Chris, the guy under the seats. Remember Chris? Oh, what was Chris's? His old man was in the comedy duo. I'm not thinking clearly tonight, but anyway, they had a lot of really funny stuff. The guy under the seats, Chris, I want to say Wallace, but it's not Chris Wallace. Oh, my God, anyway. And funny stuff, man. I took a tour of the NBC studios in about 1999 or 2000, and saw where they shoot these shows, but I didn't get to actually see anything shot. So, and then we can talk about music. We can talk about anything you feel like. I was going to also tell you, in case anybody wants to talk about this, I'm not a political guy at all, but I just want to throw my 2 cents in here my health care, last year they sent me a letter that said my health care was going down, premiums going down $35 a month, and my deductible went down $250 a year as of January 1st. So not everybody's health insurance and premiums are going up. You know, I have to say, though, that because my wife and I had pre-existing conditions, we had state-subsidized HIRSP, H-I-R-S-P insurance. Maybe some of you people out there had that too. And it was, and as soon as the Obamacare and the exchange popped up online, that insurance company just went away because you could all of a sudden get insurance with pre-existing conditions right there at the Wisconsin.gov.com or whatever, you know, healthinsurance.com or something, whatever it was. And so that put me out of insurance. And then through the exchange, I got I found some Dean Care insurance. And say what you will about Dean Care, I'm covered for the catastrophes and my doggone prescriptions every month would be far and away more than my premium if I had to pay for them all out of my pocket. So I was a big-time David Letterman fan. He started in 82, and I moved to Florida in 83. And boy, I was just, I worked in a great, great bar down on the Gulf of Mexico in near Sarasota. And it was an hour drive from St. Petersburg, where my wife and family and I lived. And so I would look for ways to pass that time, that drive time, in a way that that would leave me in kind of a good mood when I got to work. So I used to videotape VHS Dave Letterman every night. And then I could take those VHS tapes, and I can't remember how I did it, but I mixed them down to cassettes that I could play in the car. So I was listening to David Letterman's TV shows in my car all the way to work every day.
Awesome.
And I just ended up there. And I get regular, you know, stand-up comedians that were on whatever show or Comedy Central or whatever and taped them too. So I usually ended up getting to work in a pretty good mood. And that was my responsibility. I didn't have anybody in my band. If I wasn't feeling fun, there's nobody there that could help me feel fun. I was by myself, so it was a good idea. Made my job so much easier if I ended up at work in a good mood, you know. So let's see. We started a little bit late today because we couldn't get the same connections that we got last week fairly quickly, and we're doing everything a little different today, but I think it's working, and we'll find out. And are we getting close, man?
Sure.
Can we run one?
You bet.
It would be nice if I could get a little. Okay, now, do I turn this off, man?
No.
Oh. Stay, keep that on. I'm leaving.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com.
That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com, looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalks.com, stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalks.com.
Brian Beebe streaming live on Facebook through the auspices of MadisonTalks.com. We're on West Washington, just a few blocks from the Capitol building. Mitch Henk is the brain trust behind this whole thing, and he has the ability to conduct those very, very political kinds of deep, interesting discussions that I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. But he can get these guys to call in. I can't even get the lightweights that I know to call in here and ask me something or talk about something. But Mitch has been able to cultivate a whole bunch of very political guys, and he gets them to come in and do podcasts themselves too. He had Governor Tommy Thompson and several other state representatives and religious guys and whatever it takes here to make an interesting discussion. He can get two guys together to fight it out, or they'll call in and make fun of him, and he gives it right back. You should listen to the Mitch Henk program on Madison Talks. Every day, every weekday, for 3 hours, from 8 to 11. And sometimes there's more than one topic of conversation, and sometimes there's a musical guest. I was a musical guest on his program back in April when Cheap Trick was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I was a little bit famous there for a few days, and they all wanted to know me, and I got on the radio and in the newspaper, but then they threw me to the curb after that. It was kind of sad, actually. But anyway, it's 210-1667. If you'd like to call and talk to Brian Beebe about anything, I guess I'm begging now. I'm actually desperate for somebody to call and change the subject. I don't care what we talk about. You want to talk about music? I know something about that. That would be helpful. If you pick something to do with music, I do know a little bit about that. But I don't know if this is not a very flattering pose like it was before. I mean, last week. Anyway, that's... can you see me? Can you see me? Can you see me? You're on top of the world tonight. Cheap Trick. Anyway, yeah, I told you I had a little cough medicine in me, and I'm a little bit under the weather, but it's better than sniffling and coughing. I wanted to, you know what, one time, this is kind of funny. I shouldn't say this because it's the poor girl. She was trying to do... But I was standing in line at the bank when my bank was in Walmart, you know, and somebody was in front of me in line. And so I turn around, and I'm looking at the Walmart, and I'm looking at the checkers. And this one checker turned around from the register, and she went like this. You know how you're supposed to cough into your elbow?
Yeah.
But she didn't cough into her elbow. She coughed right over the
directly
top of it.
Over.
Yeah, like she went And I just, I'll never forget that. I should forget it because it wasn't, poor girl, just trying to do the right thing. But
probably how you got sick.
Oh, no, that was a long time ago, man. You know, there was another Walmart incident that I have trouble forgetting. You want to hear it, Mike?
Yeah.
All right. Well, my my mother-in-law and I used to go out for lunch on Fridays. And we had this really particularly chatty waitress this one time. They were really small talk, too much, over the top, really too bubbly, you know. And we started talking about, you know, the small talk. I've never been very good at making small talk with somebody, and just, you know, I don't take breaks at work just for that very reason. I don't want to have to sit down and have somebody go, "Oh, how long have you been playing, Brian?" You know, "Where did you grow up?" I don't want to go through, you know. So I know they're interested, and it's fine, but I don't do it. Anyway, this poor girl waitress really laid it on thick with the small talk, and we were talking about it. My mother and I were talking about it, and we went down to Walmart. I don't know if I should tell this story, but this cute little checker girl had this old guy go through line. There were lots of old people in Florida, and he had this really gruff voice like this. And she says, "Oh, do you have a cold?" He said, "No." And she says, "Oh, do you have strep?" She's just making small talk, you know. "Do you have strep throat?" "No." She says, "Well," he says, "I've got throat cancer." So you're talking about small talk blowing up in your face, huh?
Yeah,
oh, my
rough.
God. You know, it felt so bad for the little. She's just trying to do her job and be pleasant with somebody, and it blows up in her face, you know. We can edit that story out, maybe. Oh, it's pretty terrible. But I do. I write short stories, too, and I publish them online on Booksy.com if you're interested. Go to Booksy, like just Booksie.com, and search Brian Beebe, and I've got ten cute little stories about moments, interesting or funny moments from my life. I haven't been able to figure out how to write anything fictional yet, so everything that's there is a true story from my life, and I don't know if it's good or bad or otherwise, but they're there, and you can read them. One of them is called Rock Cut Riot. And where I lived in Loves Park, Illinois, there was a state park nearby called Rock Cut State Park in Rockford. It's a very nice park. And my friends and I were, you know, typical bored teenagers, and we were always looking for something new to do. And one time, I think I was the one that suggested that we go around. We always drive it around aimlessly anyway. So I said, let's drive around till we find some old lady out in her yard raking or something, you know. And then we'll pretend to beat one of us up and toss them out of the car. You know, just to see what kind of reaction you get, you know. Oh, my God. We entertained ourselves night after night with this, you know. Everybody took a turn at being the one who was beat up and tossed out of the car. And one time, it was my turn to be beaten up and thrown out of the car, and we went out to Rock Cut State Park. And we saw this older couple kind of walking romantically down the road. And we went up in front of them, and they pretended to beat me up and I don't know why I'm telling you this. Throw me out of the car, and so I'm limping. I was a pretty good actor. Limping down the road in front of this couple, and they're concerned as can be, and hollering out. And my buddies drove around in a loop in the park and came up behind me and started chasing me through the woods. And this poor old couple was hollering, "You guys leave him alone!" You know, they went. Anyway, we came out the other side of the woods and into the campground area, and they were carrying me like, you know, like a prisoner, like this, you know, and all the way up to the parking lot. We thought it was over. Parking lot where we left our car. all of a sudden we get to our car, and here comes the Ranger and four or five cars full of guys with pipes and sticks in their hands. Hey, you guys, let go of him right now. You know, I was a little too convincing. Then
it's how that conversation go.
Yeah. Now here's what happened. I swore up and down that I wasn't really getting beat up, but they had me in a cop car and they made me pull up my shirt and explain every little red spot on my whole chest or stomach. They wouldn't believe that I wasn't saying that I didn't get beat up, so these guys wouldn't come around and make me pay for that afterwards. If I said something to the cops about these guys beating me up, that would just lead to more beatings, wouldn't it? But anyway, we...
And less friends.
Yeah. And so I said, no, that's... But they made me explain every little red mark and bruise on my body, and it took us down to the cop shop. Finally, I realized that it was not as it seemed, and they were turning us loose, and they said, you guys should just play basketball or something. Do something more, a little bit more constructive with your free time. And my friend Ron Hall, he had to get the last word with the cop, and he says, yeah, we did play basketball for a while. We got the cops called on us for that, too, because the ball went in this lady's yard, and she called the cops. So he had to be smart aleck about it, you know. But that's one of the stories you can read anytime you feel like it on Booksy.com, Brian Beebe. Some of them are better than that.
No, officer, that's when they threw me out of the car. That's not from them beating me up.
Yeah. So the other stories on that Booksy.com are better than that one. So that's just the one I told you. And I don't know. I was hoping we'd get somebody to call in, but I'm all alone. No Mitch, no Mike. Mike Brockfelt. Brockfelt was a heck of a musician. And over Christmas, we were going to play some stuff, him on guitar and me singing, and we didn't get to it, but we will get to it.
Yes.
MadisonTalks.com. is where we're doing this. The studio's downtown Madison, and we are putting these things together and pasting them together. I don't know, this doesn't look exactly right. I hope you can hear all the callers that we've had. You think we're hearing all the callers just right?
I hope so.
Okay. Nobody's calling in. I haven't got anything interesting. Let me think. What could I throw out that it might be more interesting than late night TV? Depending on your age, isn't it cool? Jimmy Fallon and he gets some big stars sitting in a chair next to him, and he's right up there. Every bit they're equal to. Justin Timberlake and him have come up with some classic stuff, you know, dancing and comedy and stupid. When they went to camp and that one night, and they couldn't go to sleep, and they were talking at little teenage boys in bed, and they are funny. Colbert, you know, I was a big friend of Colbert, Stephen Colbert, when he did the Colbert Report. Then he took over for Dave, and I thought, I don't know if he tried too hard or what, but he'd come out there, and you remember some of those early shows, he'd come out there, and John Batiste was probably the finest band in late-night TV, John Batiste and Stay Human. They'd get out there, and they'd dance together, and it was kind of creepy, you know, but they did that for a few months, and I mentally told them that it looked bad and it sounded bad, so they stopped doing it. On my suggestion, they stopped doing it. Who's on the phone, man? Somebody saved my life.
I got Mitch on the phone.
Mitch who?
Mitch Hank.
Oh, Mitch Hank. You know what? That guy, he's my mentor. I've learned everything I don't know about this radio game from him. Big time 101.5 WIBA guy for many years in Madison. Talk radio, music radio. He's got a band. He tells jokes. Are you there, man?
I'm here, but I was never... Go ahead.
Huh?
I was never on 101.5, but I liked the build-up anyway. It sounded good.
Yeah. And TV 15. You know, I was on WTVO once when I was doing demos over at Full Compass on East Washington. The TV.
Well, now you're like Tom Jones because you were on about 50,000 people saw you.
Yeah, TV station came out and shot 4 hours of video of me playing one song that I wrote because they wanted to show how you multi-track, you know, play all the sing all the different parts and play all the. And so, do you remember a show that used to be on at midnight on Friday nights called Television, Mitch?
Yeah, it was before my time.
Yeah, but it was local bands, and I had a 12-minute video of this making of this one song, and it was pretty cool. But you know what I've got? I have a copy of it at home on beta. So I have no idea how to play it or even get it transferred to anything because nobody's got beta anymore. You know?
Yeah.
So,
but well, you can look at it with fondness.
Where are you? And what's this big time meeting that you've?
I have this.
You've shut me down.
Well, it's a meeting to get tickets to the NCAA tournament in Milwaukee.
Okay. Well, that's worthwhile.
I'm a Butler grad, and Butler's planned, so you know, we have to rally together
what?
In Butler Nation.
Butler is in the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, in Milwaukee.
How can that be?
In fact, I'm going there tonight.
Hmm.
Well, I keep talking over you. I'm
is
sorry.
It snowing?
Yeah, I'm going, man.
Is it snowing?
No, it's not snowing right now. Not snowing.
Okay. Well,
but I don't think people like basketball that much in Wisconsin, but they like the Badgers. But, you know, it's more of a football place because I'll go to a bar and say, get the Badger game, and they'll say, basketball? You know, it's March. Well,
yeah.
What do you think I mean? Football?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of,
yeah.
They don't think of basketball.
No, they just don't. That's not the first sport in their mind, is it?
No.
But I enjoyed all those Purdue jokes last week. Boy, that was a highlight of my podcast last week.
I mean, there's a lot of those.
The prettiest girl on the Purdue campus was a visitor.
That was
right.
The only school that has natural grass with the cheerleaders
grazing
at halftime.
Yeah, the cheerleaders are grazing. I like the one about the banners, too, the basketball stadium.
Well, that was good, yeah. They don't like that.
They
make them mad. You know?
Yeah, when they get the banners hanging, the championship banners hanging up there. Yeah.
You don't have all those banners obstructing your view.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, so what is new? What did you talk about today on your show, man? Are you getting anywhere with the health care stuff?
We talked about that, and we talked about Trump and the FBI, but, you know, we've been talking a lot about some school board stuff, you know, pretty much around the block, but I'm more interested in your love life and the number of groupies that you have.
No, I don't have any of that, but let me ask you this. Do you think I'm the first guy or the only person that ever thought Paul Ryan looked like Pee Wee Herman?
Look at that
widow's peak and that dark back black hair and the goof. I mean, doesn't he look? I always thought we were taking political messaging from Pee Wee Herman, and it just didn't make any sense to me. You know, I mean, I know you know Paul Ryan. You've had him on your show and stuff. But,
oh yeah.
But,
well, I screwed him over once because he called in, and I didn't know he was on a hold. I was on a rant.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, let's call Paul. He's been waiting.
Yeah. No.
He goes, I got to go, Mitch. I'm Paul Ryan. I've been waiting for 9 minutes.
I'm going to go. What do you think of his affinity for Ayn Rand? Does that bother you at all? I'm not political. I know what she is and who she is and what it's about.
Right. I mean, I think if you take it to the extreme, it'd be concerning. But I think what people do is they take parts of their hero.
Yeah.
They take parts. It's like a smorgasbord. It's a la carte is what happens. You know, you don't have to endorse everything. You
know, right.
There's certain things you take.
You know what I got? You know what I got? I got Tom Field on the other line, and he's been.
Oh, go for it.
He's supposed to have called six times now, and he never has. So I'm gonna.
All right, we'll get Tom and just tell me if you can find a date for me. Let me know. A blind date's fine.
I can do that. Blind date.
If
they're
over 70, we'll talk.
And I've had so many blind dates, I should get a free dog.
But I like it. I like it, Jen.
All right.
I will. Stay well, your friend.
All right, man.
Bye.
Thanks. Thanks for calling. Who is this?
Hey, this is the one and only.
Oh,
Brian
my
Beebe.
God. This couldn't be Tom Field from Sorrento's Bar and Grill up in the Dells.
It is.
Sorrento's Italian restaurant.
By the way.
What?
I just came out of the doctor's office over here in the valet.
Yeah.
The guys parking the valet. They said, tell them we said hello. We're listening to a show right now live.
Oh, yeah? The valets?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they know me from all the gambling. They used to worked at the casino. You know, that valet at the casino. They used to get way too much of my business and yours.
Oh, I used to love that place. You know that.
You know, that one time that you almost, I had to restrain you. You were going to drive your car right through the front glass doors of the casino.
Yeah, I couldn't take it anymore.
You get pretty riled up, and I don't blame you because I do too. And, you know, you had this happen to you, and I had this happen to me too. You're getting your brains beaten, and you're losing. Now, all of a sudden, your language gets a little rough. You cuss and swear a little bit, and they're going to come down and scold you? I mean, what is this? Is this a church or a school or is it a casino? I mean, you don't have to be happy when you lose your money, do you?
Well, they want you to be, but I wasn't happy. So that did it for me, Brian. They were kicking me out for swearing at them.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was a blessing that they kicked you out. But
yeah, for sure.
You didn't even swear at the dealer, did you? Did you swear at one of the other players or what?
No, I wasn't really. It was underneath my breath. I didn't like it. So I was like, okay.
It was very,
well,
very hard to even hear it, I bet.
Yep, exactly.
And they scolded.
So how's everything going today, Brian?
And they scolded you. I'm struggling today, Tom. I got the cold medicine in me, and I'm not thinking good, and I'm hot, and I'm, I'm doing it. And
yeah,
you called. This is the first time I've been working for Tom Field for over 10 years at the Sorrento's at the Wilderness up in Wisconsin Dells, and I've played these other gigs, you know, where I have this band, and we opened up for Three Dog Night and Pat Benatar and America, and we've opened up for Air Supply and Rick Springfield. You think he's ever once come to one of those concerts? No, he's never been to one. Well, he did. He went to the one. He went to the Cheap Trick show, and it was like the worst show they ever put on.
Yeah, I think it was.
It was so loud, and then
we stayed out in the lobby, I think.
Oh, you had to go out in the lobby. They were so loud, and they played all this old stuff that nobody wanted to hear. It was a misguided kind of evening. But anyway, I'm going to be there tomorrow night, 7
okay,
o'clock,
buddy.
At 7 o'clock at Sorrento's. It's a kind of a cool old piano bar kind of a place, but except that it doesn't have old people. It has young people sitting around there listening to the old guy playing the music. Anyway,
if you're gonna be there, I'll meet you there about 7
no,
o'clock.
No, yeah, you're not. You got that disappearing act down so good. I thought I was good at it.
I'm going to stick in there tomorrow. I'm sticking in tomorrow.
All right. So Tom Field, proprietor, the working partner, the hard-working partner of Sorrento's at the Wilderness, a fine Italian, great big place. The bar is probably 90 or 100 people. And then they got other rooms that are 100-something.
We do.
Rocking and rolling all summer long and even in the winter. So thanks for calling, man. Unbelievable.
You got it. Hey, thanks, Brian.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Talk to you. You bet. Bye.
And so we got another break coming up here. Yeah, do it, man. Now let me talk through those breaks. We'll be right back.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com. Looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalks.com, stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalks.com.
Oh, oh, whenever I... Hey, do you remember, anybody that's old as me might remember a show that was on in the morning before school called Romper Room, and she had a great big, just a frame from a mirror, not a mirror, you know, and she would, called it her magic mirror, this lady on this show, and she'd hold it up like this and say, oh, I can see Bobby, I can see Ricky and Dorothy. And, you know, and she's looking at the TV and making up names. But we all thought that she was calling our name, you know. That was cool. Everybody probably remembers back then having a local TV personalities. In Rockford, we had Roddy Mack. And we had Captain Bob and, not Bozo the Clown, but there was a clown on that shit, Captain Bob. And, of course, in the morning you had Bozo and Cookie from Chicago. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm gonna plug this place because it's so neat. Up in Baraboo, Wisconsin, on the square, they have a clown museum, a clown hall of fame. And it's I think it's just a donation to go in and see it. And it's got like the... It's got like a car this big that 14 guys would get in, you know, and it has actual
that's cool.
Cookie's uniform that he wore on Bozo oh, show nice. And all these Emmett Kelly and all these great clowns from all these years up on the square, kind of right in the same block as Al Ringling. So if you look at the Al Ringling Theater and you look to the right there, at the end of that block, there's a... And the guy, get this, when I went in there, the guy who took us on our tour, his name was Greg, and he was the guy in the show when the American Pickers came and picked the Clown Museum. Huh. American Pickers, I don't know if you know these, Mike and Frank, I love those... shows where they just kind of, they're panning for gold, you know. I don't quite understand why they don't buy some of the stuff that they leave there, because it's all, I see all this stuff that they normally buy that they don't take, you know. They buy, this guy's got 60 buildings all completely full of junk that is the kind of junk they buy, and they leave there with maybe a half a van full of stuff.
Yeah.
What is going on? I like that. I've been down to the American Pickers at LeClaire, Iowa.
I'm from Quad Cities. I'm from the Quad Cities.
You are? Yep. Well, just north of there, about an hour, is LeClaire, Iowa, you know, Rivertown. And I went there on purpose the first time. The second time, I missed my turn at Cedar Rapids to come back up here.
Yeah.
And I said, well, if I just go to the river, I can find my way up. You know, so I went up the river, and that took me through LeClaire again. And I saw the new building that they built to look like an old brick garage. I don't know if you watched that show, but the original building they had was that gray cinder block two-story garage building. And then they built this really fantastic-looking old garage next to it. Now, the funny thing about it is they don't have stuff that they've found and their picks on their show in this in these stores. They have tourist stuff. They have American Pickers T-shirts and backpacks and coolie cups and all this books about the guys, you know, and which is fine. I bought all that stuff. I like it. You know what they do have in that store that you can see? I mean, there's some stuff that they've picked on different shows. But do you remember the time a guy had an Indian buried 50 years in this yard, and they paid this woman $2,000 to allow them to dig up her backyard, and they found this Indian that had been buried for 50 years.
Wow.
And Mike Wolf had one of his talented metal workers put it all together. It's still old, still rusted and corroded like it did, just like it came out of the ground.
Yeah.
But it's all in the shape of a motorcycle, and it's on a stand. You can actually, you can see it at the LeClaire store. And of course, if you watch the American Pickers, there was the one where they had the old guy smoking, the old guy, I can't think of his name, but it was a great big, tall, moving puppet thing that they bought. And you remember the show, it had water in it, and they brought it home. But anyway, that's still there. They have a lot of stuff. The two Laurel and Hardy masks that they found in that one place, and they used them to prank Danielle. I have a picture of myself with Danielle.
Oh, yeah?
Just so you know.
Nice.
Yeah, okay. She was hot. I wasn't. I was like 60, 70 pounds heavier than I am now. But the American Pickers, I mean, I watch that stuff, and I know that Pawn Stars is the same way. If you're not there when they're filming a show, Pawn Stars is full of T-shirts and coolie cups and printed stuff, and not at all like what it looks like when they shoot the show. They got to line out the door day and night to go into this place. So what are they going to do, make them try to buy old phonographs, or are they going to sell them that $25 T-shirt? Of course they are. But and Storage Wars, I used to watch Storage Wars all the time before Dave Hester left the show, and then it came out kind of in the court proceedings that they do seed those storage lockers with something nice occasionally for the benefit of the show.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want to think that they do, but they do.
They do.
Yeah. Is there one more break before we? All right, I'm praying for a break today because I've got all this medicine in me and I'm not doing so well. Plus, I had Mitch Hank call, and when he called in and said he was going to a basketball game, that kind of depressed me. I wish I was going too, you know, but I can't go. He's got those he's got rich friends. You know, they get him tickets to stuff, you know. That's the way that works. Yesterday at the hospital, and some little old lady recognized me. You know, I volunteered at the Baraboo Hospital, and she said, "You should be singing." So I put my arm around and I sang, "Because of you, there's a song in my heart." Then she started singing. Her friends started singing. Everybody in the little sitting area started singing, "Because of you," because they were all alone. That's a hit from 1950, man.
That's cool.
Even before my time. Let's see. I was going to talk about those late night TV wars. They had a book and they made a movie about Letterman versus Leno in the TV wars. You know, when who was going to get the Tonight Show? And Leno had a very, very powerful woman manager who would, do anything to get him to prosper and lie and pull strings and whatever she did. But anyway, everybody kind of figured it was going to be Dave because he always followed Johnny, just move up one slot. And Johnny, in the movie, Dave actually was so distraught, he went to see Johnny Carson. And he asked him, what would you do? Would you take this offer to, you know, start 35 minutes later than Lynn Leno or something, you know, and for the less money or less stations or whatever he did? And Johnny said, no, I think if I was you, Dave, I'd walk. And so in the movie, him and his manager got right out in the street and walked right across the street to the Ed Sullivan Theater. So from 82, 33 years later, what's that, 2015 or 2005? What? 80, help me with the math, somebody. 82 he started, and he was on for 33 years. So that would be 2015 he left. That's right. He grew a big beard in that short time. Big white beard. But he was, you know, Dave wasn't really a people person anyway. So he's become a hermit, and he's happy with it. And then you got Jimmy Fallon and Seth Meyers. So perfect. And the shows are produced by Lorne Michaels from their Saturday Night Live days, and it's very comfortable, and they're very... I appreciate these guys like Fallon, like Carson, who can sit across from the biggest stars in the business and look at them eye to eye and not... You don't feel like, oh, you know, this big star is overpowering to Jimmy Fallon, you know. He's had De Niro on a whole bunch of times, all kinds of big stars from today and from years gone by, and he stands up, and the fun stuff that they do, games wise and
the games are fun,
and puppy
yeah.
The puppies and the they do, what's that one with the password, they do all kinds of stuff and make these stars do whacked out things, you know, which is really pretty kind of cool.
Jimmy Kimmel is good too.
Jimmy Kimmel, I don't watch Jimmy, and I watched him as when he was in stand up, and I thought he was a little too risque for me. But he was married to Sarah Silverman for a lot of years, and I thought she was funny.
Oh yeah.
And then they split up, and so he was less funny all of a sudden, you know. Because when she dumped him, he got less funny. But I never watch his show. Do you watch it? No, I know. What station is he on? And Conan. I mean, I used to watch a little Conan until he got shoved to TBS, which isn't even really a network deal. But you got to go where the money is, and he's making a lot of money. So, and what about this guy that's after Colbert, the British guy? James Corden, is it? He's funny, and he's good with that car karaoke that they do. He's got some hooked things that are, but I think these English comedians or talk show hosts just feel like they have to shout. His whole show is very loud. He's loud. He shouts everything, and so then everybody else has to shout. And it doesn't sound any funnier just because it's louder, I don't think. You know? What? I used to really like British TV. I've been over to England a few times, and Morecambe and Wise and Benny Hill, and these guys were pretty doggone funny, man. They owned it because they only had three channels, too. They only had Grampian and BBC One and BBC Two. It was like America in the 50s, three stations, you know. You better like what's on, or you don't watch TV, you know. So, anyway, maybe we'll talk about books next time or something. I don't know. I don't read anything that's very classic, but I read a lot of stuff. Anyway, thanks to our callers. A big thank you to Mike Brockville for doing all the technical stuff and getting us live streaming. I think Mitch Hink called in. Did Mitch Hink call in? He did.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It wasn't very memorable, but he I think he did. Anyway, check out the other guys that are doing what I'm doing on MadisonTalks.com. It's just they're just getting kind of underway with the potential, but they do have some very clever guys that are doing some really making some real contributions to Madison, Wisconsin in general, and you know, aside from my show, there's some real content on some of the shows. I mean, Mitch Hank can talk about, you know, solar energy, and he can talk about, I don't know, books and 1984, and I mean, all his history. He knows all about that. He used to be a big shot, man. He still is around
he
here.
He used to be.
He taught me everything I know, whether I should have learned it or not. So, but anyway, I don't know what happened to my sign. It came up backwards on the screen. See that? It's Ebib Nair, but I just didn't want to show Mitch Hank's name all the way through the show this time.
I think you should start going by Ebib Nair.
Ebib Nair. Yeah. So are we done? All right. See you next time, Brian Beebe, Monk's Bar and Grill, all over Wisconsin, and Sorrento's at the Wilderness at Wisconsin Dells. I play four nights a week. Come on up. You can still be back in Madison by 9:30, 10. All right.